Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. 800-531-3815. Toll-free coast to coast. Joan Pride is our guest, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and she's our good friend. Joan, welcome back.
Thank you, Jim. Good morning.
Good morning to you. It's good to have you here.
Thank
As
you.
Always, it's a little weird, though. We're on a different day, aren't we?
I know. As far as I'm concerned, it's Thursday.
Well, I know it, but you missed me, right? You missed me yesterday,
didn't you? Desperately.
Yeah, I knew you would. I missed you, too. Joan, what does Kiplinger say about the future economy? Is recovery in sight?
Well, we think it is. But there's a lot of uncertainty out there. I mean, we do think that the stock market is going to return and the economy is going to return, but it's not, as we've been saying all along, it's not just going to suddenly explode just because the war is over.
Right. Yeah, but isn't that a good thing?
Well, we certainly don't want the economy to overheat because then you bring back inflation.
Right.
But I think we could get a little more of a sustainable growth would help us.
Yeah. Well, Kiplinger says, according to the letter this week, that the stock market is going to see a 10% gain, potentially.
That's right. That's what we're hoping for. But we also say it will come in fits and starts. So you're just not going to see, this raging bull market going up and up
right.
and up throughout the year.
Well, also, I think what that's going to mean is you got to manage your sectors.
Boy, you sure do.
Because,
yeah.
In the 90s, you just throw a dart at a stock board,
right.
and you had a pretty good chance a year later of making money, but you can't do that now.
True.
You got to really pay attention to your sectors because
you
some sectors are winning in the 21st century and some sectors are not winning in the 21st century.
And that may change, too.
That's exactly right. So, and that's a good point, Joan, because one of the things that we've really got to watch is how quickly industries, the fortunes of various countries and industries can change these days over the way it used to be.
Exactly.
And used to be maybe was like 10 years ago.
Well, but everything is so interconnected now. Globalization
yep.
is not about to be stopped, and that really has an effect on everything.
Which we have, and you're exactly right. Another thing that could sort of derail the growth if there were more financial scandals. Now, you guys reported on that a little bit this week, too, didn't you?
Well, that's right. And as you know, the thing that the Enron, WorldCom, MCI, et cetera, that started in late 2001, and it really hasn't abated since. And that has caused investor confidence to plunge. And we really don't see investor confidence, spiking back anytime soon.
Right.
It's going to be a long, slow, gradual recovery.
But we've recently had another Enron, WorldCom type deal with the HealthSouth fiasco.
Oh, well, that's true. That's right. And that's been, splashed all over the papers for quite a while.
Well, and it sounds like, from what I've read, it sounds like this is another deal. I mean, very similar to the other companies. I read something that the folks at HealthSouth had been fudging the numbers all the way back as far as 86.
I read that, too.
Did you see that?
Right.
That blows your mind, doesn't it? I mean, think about it. I mean, these other companies, WorldCom and Enron, I mean, it seemed that their malfeasance was only maybe, 3 or 4 years old.
HealthSouth was kind of born in malfeasance in a way.
Yeah, yeah, it seems like that. So notwithstanding other types of scandals like that, But hopefully, notwithstanding those things, we won't have any more of a market upset by too many more of those. But also, couldn't we spin this as a good thing, in terms of ferreting these bad actors out, and also we have some more news this week that some of the Enron folks, some more of them were indicted.
Well, yeah, and I think longer term, if current trends continue, you're going to have shareholders keeping a much closer eye on management and boards of directors becoming more independent, less willing to do whatever management wants, which was part of the downfall of Enron and other companies.
Right. But, you mentioned boards and especially shareholders. Let me share something with you that that Steve Forbes said on the show this week. We were talking about basically this very issue, and he said he really hoped that taking a risk and trying your best, but then failing anyway, doesn't become criminalized. That, you see what I mean? He said, you know, let's make sure that we separate the people who do something wrong intentionally and the people who do something wrong, not wrong, but they fail while they were taking initiative. He said, you know, he reminded us, he said, you know what? He said, business is all about risk. Sometimes things don't work out. Let's don't criminalize good people who try to do something, you know, try to do something right.
Right. Well, an honest mistake is an honest mistake, but cooking the books is what these companies were doing.
Well, and he's not minimizing that. His point was, let's don't throw the baby out with the dishwater. Let's don't go too far in holding back companies that want to take risks. I mean, if CEOs, good well-meaning leaderships of companies, decide not to take a risk because they're afraid of being sued. But when there's nothing wrong legally or ethically or morally about what they're doing, then the economy is going to be hurt by that.
True. But, I mean, I would also turn that on its head and say that fear should not stop us from instituting reforms that are desperately needed.
Well, yeah, especially from an accounting standpoint. But if you think about it, Joan, from an enforcement standpoint, from a legal standpoint, those people are being taken to jail right now. With the laws that were already on the books.
Well, those people were true, but there's still way too much greed out there in terms of executive compensation that those abuses need to be wrung out of the system.
Well, and we're going to, a little bit later in the hour, we're going to talk about one of those steps that's being taken right now that I think will alleviate a lot of that. Now, there's no question about that. Here's an interesting statistic, Joan, that you guys came up with this week, and that is that you predict that profits will average 8% coming up.
That's right.
In major corporations.
That's right.
8%, that's pretty high.
Well, we say that's not
8%
bad.
8% hike, I should say. An 8%
right.
hike.
Average. And that's average, so you could have some that are higher.
Well, you know, that's not exactly a big number, but you got to like the trend, right?
Well, and that's what we've been desperately looking for quite a while, that the trend had not been there. And now we're sort of finally beginning to see the uptick.
I seem to be saying that a lot these days, don't I, folks? We don't like the numbers, but we got to like the trend. But I think that's what we're grasping for these days. I think that's what we're looking for. We're looking for that ray of sunshine, that little bit of hope, that little glimmer of hope. And I think we're starting to see it a little bit. It's kind of exciting, to tell you the truth. 20 after, we'll be right back with our good friend, Joan Pryde, senior editor with a Kiplinger editor. Stay with us, please. We're back, and we're getting jiggy with our good friend Joan Pryde.
I knew you were going to say that.
800-531-3815, toll free coast to coast. My website is www.jbsba.com. Check it out. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get a chance. And I think you'll like it. It comes every week by email. And if you don't like it, we'll take you off our list. All you have to do is tell us that, too. Joan, one of the things that hopefully is going to be a byproduct of that 8% average hike in profits is going to be increased business spending. Boy, howdy, do we need that.
Boy, yeah, if there's one message I could give your listeners, please go out and spend some money. And I don't mean those consumers because they've been doing a fine job.
That's right.
It's the businesses that we desperately need. Buy a computer. Go out and buy something.
Buy
please.
A big piece of equipment or a truck or something.
Thank you. We'd appreciate it.
That's right. Joan, the other thing that could come along with the business spending is that you guys report this week is possibly a spark in job creation, which we sorely need, don't we?
Right, and we've been saying that job creation has been sparse for 2 years now. It's amazing. Yeah. I mean, it feels like just yesterday we were talking about how tight the labor market was.
Well, we were saying that the United States has total employment.
Not anymore.
No. Uh-uh. No, and that total employment was also kind of an aberration too, wasn't it?
Well, it's really hard to measure what that really means because you never really have 100% full employment, but there comes a point where economists say, okay, we're at virtual full employment because all the people who want to be employed and need to be employed are.
That's the way that the economists on my show have defined it. Whenever Bob McTeer a couple of years ago said, you know, basically in America we have full employment, and what he meant was that if you want a job, you can get a job.
Yeah.
But as you say, it's not like that now. And I think the unemployment situation is not going to be a quick recovery either. I think that's going to take some time, don't you?
Well, and the unemployment figures themselves are always a lagging economic indicator. That's kind of
right.
The last thing to pick up in a recovery anyway.
Mm-hmm. But, Joan, we got some good news this week on the consumer front. Did you see what happened to consumer confidence?
No, I didn't. Did it go up?
It jumped 16 points.
Those consumers, what would we do without them?
It was in the tank. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but go to conferenceboard.org, folks, and I'll try to get up in a minute and get the exact numbers. Conferenceboard.org, and it was something like, Joan, it was something like it had gone to the seller at somewhere around 68 or something like that.
Jeez.
It was awful. And then it jumped 16, I think it was 16, either 14 or 16 points in
wow.
1 month. And it was clearly nothing but just happiness that the war was successful and that it didn't last and there weren't any horrific circumstances.
Right, that's amazing.
Yeah, it really is, and of course that's also what got it down into the cellar to start
yes.
with. To me, it seems.
Yes.
Yeah. Are we on the threshold of a new economic growth cycle, Joan?
Well, I guess. That we're saying that eventually one is going to take root. I mean, it's not going to happen tomorrow, but I guess the seeds are being sown now for that to happen.
So could we go back, Joan, to say 1983 or early 1984, and see the headwaters of the last economic expansion, and compare what's going on right now to that time?
Well, it kind of depends on what happens because. You know, if oil prices go the way that we say they're going to go and inflation remains in check and the Fed doesn't do anything dumb,
mm-hmm.
It's very possible.
The Economist, yesterday I had on an economist, let's see, Thomas Seams with the Dallas Fed, studies energy for the Dallas Fed. And he said he thought that what's happening in Iraq right now and country can sort of, you know, gain its own self-determination over there, the people can, that he thinks that will have a very stabilizing effect on oil prices, maybe for a long time to come.
Wow.
So that was good news.
Yeah.
I hope, as they say, from his mouth to God's ears, right?
Right.
What about, and of course that bodes well for inflation too, doesn't it?
Well, that's right. That's what we're thinking, that, you know, with the lower inflation, you're going to be bolstering buying power.
And you know, he said that Tom Seams said that oil is so volatile and such a major part of the basket of goods in terms of volatility that some of his peers in what he does actually take petroleum out of the equation for calculating inflation. That they feel that they're in other words they also want to look at it without oil to see, otherwise it's difficult to see what everything else is doing.
Right. Well, and I think economists often talk about the core rate in the consumer price index. And
right.
I know when energy prices were going crazy back 20 years ago, they would talk about what the CPI would have been, you know, not factoring in energy.
Right. Right. You know. Another thing I think this bodes well for the economy, Joan, is something else that was a big part of the headwaters of the last expansion, that thanks to Mr. Reagan, and that was tax cuts.
And we're going to get a bunch of tax cuts this year.
Yeah. Now, Joan, if we look at those at that era at the beginning of the last expansion, which was about 18 years, 17 or 18 years long. And we, in talking about expansions, and then we compare that and this to what happened in the early 1930s, one of the things that most economists will say caused the Great Depression was Mr. Hoover raised taxes on the threshold of the Great Depression.
Well, we certainly don't have to worry about that.
That's right. Stand by. 29 after a quick break. Right back with Joan Pride.
He is fire small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. But there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 26 after. Not 26 after. It's 34 after. That's what I get for watching the second season. 34 after the hour, folks, I promise. Oh, man. My website is www.jbsba.com, and Joan Pride is our guest, and their website is kiplinger.com, www.kiplinger.com, K-I-P-L-I-N-G-E-R.com. And it's an outstanding website, as you may know already if you've been there. I hope you bookmarked it, because I think it's a site worthy of bookmarking to go back there and find out some of the things that Kiplinger says for free. But if you want to know more, you can subscribe to their publications, which includes the weekly letter, now in its 80th year of business, which is amazing these days, especially for a privately held company to produce something like they have. And that one comes every week, the Kiplinger letter. And then they've got three biweekly letters, the tax letter, the California letter, and the tax and the agriculture letter. And then they've got a magazine, too, don't you, Joan?
Right, Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. And a lot of good stuff in there. And also, if you're a subscriber, one of the things, Joan, we don't talk about much is if you're a subscriber, you get a lot of little special reports. Any given week, my letter comes with an extra sheet or two of information that I didn't even ask for on different issues.
That's right.
So it's
pretty cool.
For
example, every month we put something in called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Advisor. That comes with the first issue of every month. And there's more to come.
I couldn't remember how often. I knew I got something every few weeks. It was a little bit extra, a little bit of lanyap, as they say down in Louisiana.
But I think we're also working on some new special reports that won't be regular, but will be periodic.
All right. That's a little bit of serendipity there.
Right.
The website is kiplinger.com. You can subscribe there. But, Joan, give us the 800 number.
Right. Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
And don't forget, they've got the Blasting Game 30-day free trial. So
check
that out. Joan, one of the things that you guys point out that I'm actually kind of glad to see, and you're going to think this is odd that I'm saying this, but I'm glad to see that you say that there are no blockbuster trends in sight, no next big thing, no big killer app coming around the corner like the internet was for the last growth period that we had. You say that there's not one coming, and I'm glad to hear that.
Well, that's kind of the thing that produces the volatility. You know, everybody runs to the next big thing, and then when it falls apart, look what happens.
The economy, the participants in this economy, in my opinion, still need to have we all still need to learn a little bit more of a lesson of focusing on fundamentals.
We sure do.
And if we had another big killer app right now, I'm afraid that we would not. I think without a killer app, we could have another sustained growth period similar to the last one. With a big killer app, if one popped up right now, I think that we wouldn't have. I think it would be another manic period of time.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. Let's move over and talk on page two, Joan. Talk about some of the CEOs are being their wallets being lightened up a little bit, aren't they?
Boy, executive compensation. Those are the big issues, and you're seeing those are the big issues in the annual meetings where shareholders are bringing resolutions to cut executive compensation. And now there's a lot of new rules from the stock exchanges and from the SEC that are telling public companies your boards of directors have to set up compensation committees if you don't already have them, and your compensation committee has to be all independent people in order to stop these sweetheart deals and golden parachutes and really nice severance packages for these top executives.
Like the American Airlines CEO
Boy,
was doing for his
people. Boy, isn't that
a
perfect
people.
Example.
Yeah. That was where the CEO had arranged for his executives to get all this money at the same moment that he was cutting the pay of the other folks.
Yeah, that looked pretty bad.
It looked very bad.
And that almost ruined the deal.
Yeah.
The whole thing almost fell apart because of that.
It almost threw the company into bankruptcy.
And you know, it was the cover-up that was almost worse than the crime.
Yeah, yeah. But he's gone now.
Yes, he's gone.
He lost his job, and he should have. And with right. if he created it, he should have, and he should be infamous now. You know, for forever and ever. People. That's one of the things, Joan. That's an example of the marketplace fixing itself.
That's right.
And good for them, for the people who didn't put up with that. And that's the kind of thing that we've got to continue to do. We've got to hold people accountable. Another thing, Joan, that's really momentous, and you guys almost buried it. You reported it in the letter, but I think this should have had its own header, its own major bold header. And that's this. Firms will be required to count stock options as expense starting next year.
That's right.
That's a biggie, isn't it?
And the Financial Accounting Standards Board, which is the board that sets accounting rules, is working on that rule right now. Now, however, it's not going to happen without a fight in Congress.
Right. Stand by, Joan. When we come back, we're going to explain why this is a big deal.
Yep.
I think it's a real big deal. It'll prevent some of the excesses that we've had in the last several years, I think. And it's 20 till. We'll be right back with Joan Pride. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. We're visiting with Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, we're going to be visiting with some folks from an incubator, a business incubator. You know who these people are. I've told you about them. I've had many of them on the show before. I like working with these, with the business incubators, because they do a lot to help small, fledgling companies find a place to go inexpensively to get their dream off the ground. They stay there for a couple of years or so. They have to leave. They can't stay there forever. It's not free. They have to pay for their keep, but it's a great thing that's going on around the country these days, and anything I can do to help the incubator organizations, I want to do that. And I'm going to be speaking to one in Anniston, Alabama on Monday, and I will be interviewing a couple of their folks, the administrator and some of their tenants, and during on the show. So I'm looking forward to that. Joan, let's get back into the stock option thing. Can you explain to us how the difference between the way things are right now and the way that they're being proposed to be?
Let me start, go the opposite way. What companies would have to do would be list stock options as an expense on their balance sheets.
On their operating statement, like payroll.
Right, which they don't have to do now. Now, some companies have come forward voluntarily and said they're going to do this, which gives a much truer picture of their liabilities and their obligations.
Well, what happens is, Joan, is that the stock options are so immense sometimes, and it creates a true expense on the company.
Right.
But the stock options are so immense that it actually changes the performance.
Exactly.
That the people, and think about this, Joan, the people are being paid for performance. The stock option is a product of the performance.
Right.
Which would be lowered if what they were getting paid was taken into account.
That's right.
So, you know, talk about having your cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
That's what it amounts to. And
right.
So what happens is it really makes managers focus on real accounting, not commingling real money and monopoly money.
That's exactly it.
And I really think it's important, and it's a hard pill to take. You know, the truth is, Joan, if they had been more judicious about this, we wouldn't be at this point right now.
They could actually
have that little bitty. That would be a pretty big benefit. But they could actually still have that. But they just, greed took over, didn't it? And they got away.
Away
with them. Okay, let's talk about politics, Joan. Let's talk about presidential politics.
Okay.
You guys say there are going to be a couple of first casualties in the Democrat side.
Right. Two of your favorites, Senator Lieberman and Congressman Gephardt.
I actually like those two guys.
Do you now?
Yeah.
Gephardt?
I do.
Mr.
Yeah.
Liberal?
Well, yeah. Well, I'm disappointed in his last. Well, I mean, he's being true to his nature. There's no question about that. But I tell you what, both of them stood behind the president on the war.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Lieberman and Gephardt. You say they're going to be the early casualties.
Well, they're just not. They're not getting the fundraising done.
It's all about money, isn't it?
Yeah, their two colleagues, Senators Kerry and Edwards, are doing a much better job in that area, and so these two, we're saying, will be the first ones to drop out. Now, there's also Howard Dean of Vermont. I don't see how he goes the distance either.
No, he's not going to make it. And Joe Lieberman is a patriot. Joe Lieberman is a liberal Democrat, no question about it. But I'll tell you, I really, I really, I really believe Joe has leadership qualities.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't have a problem with a liberal or a conservative if their fundamental default position is to be a patriot, to be true to America.
Right.
And I admire those people, but as you say, the money is the big deal. And Kerry, you say, has raised about $8 million, and Edwards, out of the wet behind the ear senator out of South Carolina, has raised 5.7.
Right, and that was a little bit of a surprise that he has done so well relative to Kerry.
You know why, don't you?
The trial lawyers.
Bingo.
Yeah,
that'll be interesting.
True.
To see, and the next 6 months will really be a big deal, won't it, Joan? With regard to, in fact, don't you think the next 6 months, probably maybe the next 9 months, will determine really what's going to happen in the election in 2000?
Well, sure. 9 months will put us into early next year, right?
Well, I'm thinking fourth quarter 2003 because I guess what I'm getting at from the standpoint of whether the next Democrat will know more about how the economy is doing and how Americans feel about it.
Right, that's the important thing.
Mm-hmm. And how Americans feel about Mr. Bush, to see whether the next presidential candidate has a chance or if he's a sacrificial lamb.
That's right.
So that'll be interesting. What about Mr. Frist? Let's keep talking about politics. Mr. Frist is on some rocky roads.
Well,
these days,
Mr. Frist has had himself a problem because the Republicans in the House thought there was a deal on the size of the tax bill, but Mr. Frist allowed a smaller tax bill to be, or the outlines of a smaller tax bill to be approved in the Senate than the House had been expecting. And that caused a lot of ill will with House Republican leaders.
Well, and he also committed a tactical error. That happened, as you know, that compromise from the 550 that the House approved to 350 that Snow and Leapin' Lincoln and Voinovich wanted, when they made that compromise, he allowed it to happen and then promptly left town in the middle of the night and went to China for a week and a half.
Well, at the point, he didn't just suddenly leave for China. Everyone was sort of getting out of town for the Easter break.
But what I'm getting at is there's all this controversy, and he wasn't around to deal with it.
Well, and the reason, and that was part of what the problem was,
right,
that he was trying to get this deal done fast so he mm-hmm. could get out of town.
That's the reason I call his departure a tactical error.
Right.
Which I think if he'd stayed in town, he probably could have helped himself a
right.
little bit. Tin Till, right back after these messages with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up?
We're back. It's 7 Till, visiting with our friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, let's move over to the top of page 4 and talk about SARS.
All right.
Let's see. I'm trying to remember what the SARS stands for.
Severe acute respiratory syndrome. Now, what I don't understand is why you have to say severe and acute.
I don't. Well, they couldn't have had a handy acronym without.
Well, see, that's the thing. They needed the vowel
exactly,
in there.
Exactly. Well, it's a serious thing. We're making a little bit of a joke, but folks, it's very serious.
Well, we don't
serious.
Need to.
Well, you know, you gotta have fun with everything if you can. But the thing is that it's very serious. And I'm on a personal note, I'm pretty ticked off about SARS because I was supposed to go to Beijing in June. And I'm not going to Beijing, obviously.
I believe, well,
I'm
better not,
going.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, think about this, Joan, a chance to go to China, not just to China, but to Beijing.
Right.
Was a big deal to me. And I go now, and I'm not sure, I don't know when that chance will come back.
Well,
maybe
you can
will.
Thank the Chinese government for screwing this up.
Tell us what they did.
Well, they minimized. I mean, they knew they had an outbreak, and they covered it up.
They don't use minimize. They covered it up.
Yeah, they completely covered it up, and they finally had to admit it. And the people there are very upset. I mean, this could topple the government.
But Joan, think about this. Every cloud has a silver lining.
Well, that's true.
Is it possible that SARS could be the thing? This whole thing could wind up killing only a couple hundred people. And making a few thousand sick, but actually be the single-handed thing to take down the biggest communist regime left in the place.
Well, that's
China.
What some people are saying, that SARS could be the thing that really leads China to a more democratic society.
Tell me anybody who could have predicted something like that.
Boy. But they brought themselves down if that happens.
I know some futurists. I don't know anybody that could have predicted something like that.
Yeah.
But they fired the mayor of Beijing.
Well, and he was just a scapegoat.
And, yeah, exactly. And the, and also their health minister.
Right.
Who probably was the guy who said, hey, we have this problem we have to tell the world. And they said, oh, no, you can't do that. And then and then a month later they said, oh, by the way, you know, you have to fall on your sword.
Exactly.
But, yeah, it could have – but I'm not sure what how much could have been prevented, though, Joan, at least externally. Maybe internally they could, some things could have been prevented if we'd known more about it.
Well,
you
know, and they seem to be doing all the wrong things. See, you know, there's these rumors going around they're going to shut down Beijing. So people are leaving the city in droves. Well, you don't want people moving around. If that's one of the problem. This nurse that went from Toronto to the Philippines, you know, took SARS with her to the Philippines and killed her whole family.
This is like the plague, isn't it,
right,
from the standpoint of contagiousness?
Yeah, it's incredibly contagious. And now they're seeing people having relapses. So they think they were cured, and then they weren't. So, and they really don't know how long a person sheds the virus or is contagious.
Right.
That's the worst part.
So much we don't know about it.
Right.
And but isn't it also amazing how fast the research community has come up to speed on this thing and how much progress they've made?
Well, and there are those who say that if they could have moved this quickly with AIDS, that AIDS would not be the scourge that it is.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a perfect analogy because AIDS is a different type of disease, but certainly, you know, it's amazing how fast they did move this time.
Yeah, it would seem to me that AIDS is more would be more complicated than this one.
Right.
But no, but also don't forget, Joan, that was 20 years ago.
Right. That's the difference here.
I mean, I think that's a good theoretical example, but I don't think practically I don't think it is because of the time. I mean, look how far medicine has come.
Well, that's what I mean. It's a good example in terms of showing how far we've come
since
AIDS was discovered.
Yeah, well said. Well, you know, Joan, any international flight, I've decided, since coming back from Rome and getting an infection from the, I'm convinced, on the plane coming back from Rome.
And a nasty one.
Yeah, I think any international flight is subject to being a Petri dish.
Well, I believe it.
And so, you know, I have a friend who said that Pierce Howard says that he's been wearing masks on international flights for years.
Wow.
He says he used to get sick all the time on them. He said since he wore a mask, he doesn't get sick.
No kidding.
Yeah. So, folks, I think we might want to continue to do that. But I'll tell you something else. Sean, I want to say one other thing about this. Airlines could help if they would circulate the air from change the air from outside to inside in the every 2 to 4 minutes that they have the capability to do, and they don't do it.
Why don't they? Is it more expensive?
It saves gas. It saves fuel.
Oh.
And so they could do. I'm convinced that they don't do a good job of that, and they need to. That's one of the things that they need to step forward and fix, I think.
That's right.
Joan, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Jim.
Good job today.
Thank you very much.
Looking forward to next week, and we'll see you then.
Okay.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be back next week. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and every single military member of our military standing a post around the world. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, we're proud of you. And may God bless you. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.